Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, a market close with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, I'm glad that we waited for the market close to recap the moves today because, well, quite frankly, it seemed like a lot of euphoria or at least optimism was in these markets throughout the day as the S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ were trending sideways, little upward bias, but just about an hour and a half before the market closed, everything fell off a table, really. The S&P looking at closing about a full percentage point down, the NASDAQ about flat on the day, but its range was about 400 points, so about 400 points off of its high. And NASDAQ, that really fell off the table, down a little over 2%. What was your takeaway from this pretty nasty reversal we saw to close the day?
Well, I was joking with somebody earlier in the day, Corey, that when Jerome Powell, the Fed chairman, was quoted on some wire services earlier on as insisting that he doesn't see a bubble in the NASDAQ, maybe that was your signal to sell. And, because it's just been a straight meld up and it's getting dopier by the day. But what I think happened is two things. First of all, that dynamic of things just going up and up and up and up, it's gonna run itself out at some point. It's kind of like Wile E. Coyote that went off the edge of a cliff and he feels pretty proud of himself until those Acme rockets run out of gas and there's nothing under him but air. So I think there was some of that at work already. And then what really dealt the fatal blow to the markets and gave us a pretty vicious reversal, an important one for the NASDAQ as we close the day. Potentially, if you get a NASDAQ close below 10,412, it would mark an outside reversal day, which traditionally is a technical sell signal. Doesn't always mean these days that it's adhered to, but that's, you know, another mark against the market. But what brought us to that from just maybe some profit taking and momentum running out was the announcement by Governor Newsom this afternoon out in California, who was starting to shut down wholesale sectors of the economy. Again, a lot of retail establishments, gyms, churches, and whatnot. And so that, I think, is something that even though you haven't had a lot of this going on elsewhere, you got a state of that size where you've had to date with these virus numbers going back up, probably today the most draconian moves back away from reopening and back towards locking down economic activity. You know, what Newsom announced today is more than what we've seen in Florida with the spike in cases. It's more than they've seen in Georgia and Texas and so forth. So, it remains to be seen if that's going to catch on. But it's yet another reminder, as I've said a million times, not that the stock market has cared, that the optimism over the pace of reopening that has been worked into stock prices is just nuts. And it's going to be disappointed in the end.
So, Chris, it's something that I've been talking about a lot with you and with my other guests, and that is the potential of more shutdowns. But a lot of the answers I was getting from my guests and a lot of articles that I've been reading is I think people were a little too complacent, thinking that, oh no, the government is saying that they don't want to shut things down again, so we're not going to get shutdowns. Now, we finally have California starting to shut stuff down. That's very much an eye-opener, I think, for investors saying that, hey, this isn't smooth, and if we go back into a shutdown type of trend, then, well, we probably should expect markets to crash again. Do you think that's fair to say this is more of just a wake-up call today from California?
Well, I think it is. And, you know, way back when, after we had that first big waterfall, historic decline in late February and into early March, and we started seeing the market slug its way back with a lot of help from the Fed, a lot of help from Washington. My view at that time, as some might remember, is that, okay, we get a retracement, we make back half or two-thirds of what the decline is, or what the decline was with the rally, and then we roll over again and have the second leg down of the bear market, which historically is one that goes on longer time-wise, but isn't necessarily as dramatic. It just becomes grinding and demoralizing. The problem we have right now, and I don't know if you're being prescient, Corey, or that was a Freudian slip or what, but we very much do have a renewed danger of the kind of a crash that we had in February and March, because we have had such a Federal Reserve juiced rally on the back of very little substance fundamentally. And so, you know, this afternoon is a potential microcosm of what might come if the news continues to get worse. And another article I'm putting on my website and elsewhere by tomorrow about China. You know, the situation between the U.S. and China is far worse today than it was when the market was wringing its hands and throwing fits before this cockamamie phase one trade deal was signed last year. So, you know, at some point, everybody all at once wakes up to the fact that all of this new leverage, all of this new funny money from the Fed that is all piled back into stocks and disproportionately so in the new nifty ones, you know, the MAGA stocks, the FANG stocks, the momentum stocks like Tesla. And I love the company, but the stock price you couldn't give to me right now. You know, all of that can come back out just as fast. And like one commentator on the market said this afternoon, you know, it's been hard to fight the tape. It's been hard to find all this Fed liquidity. But don't forget, and you won't be told ahead of time exactly what day this is going to happen, that you're playing a game of musical chairs where there's 100 people in three chairs.
That's an interesting concept there. Nice visual. So, Chris, is there any safety if we are going to get just another waterfall decline here? Because you look at gold stocks, those fell off a cliff at the end of the day. Emerging market shares, financial sector, like everything pretty much fell except for the U.S. dollar, which clearly safe haven trade right there, rush to cash in that last hour and a half. Is there any safety that you're seeing, or could this be a just take your money off the table and wait for a little bit?
Well, you may have to do that. You know, the only safety, if we had have a repeat or any measure of one of what we had earlier in the year, everything that's gone up at an increasing rate will come back down, including the metals and the metal stocks. Your safe havens would be the U.S. dollar, the Japanese yen, treasury paper, ETFs and that kind of thing for treasuries, maybe physical gold itself or the gold bullion ETFs. But I'm fearful that we would see pretty sharp reversals. Again, I don't think anything on the order of that hit from February and March, but you know, the gold stocks could give back a third of their present value as of today in a hell of a hurry. Doesn't change my long-term view at all, but I'll tell you, it wasn't that many days ago that I actually, as I was telling people happily, to sell a few individual gold companies that we had made some good money on, and for individual reasons, I didn't want to stay with them. I'm looking at adding some other ones, but I also added back some ETF exposure because we had a breakout in the gold price, because we had a bigger breakout in the silver price. I just added some silver ETF exposure for the first time in 9 years back to my recommendations. But as I did, I told people I'm going to keep them on a short leash, and I'm going to have to look even tonight at, do we have to get right back out of them or put stop losses in case we do have pretty violent reversals and then get back in later at lower prices. We'll see. But they're not going to be safe either, Corey, I'm afraid to say, short term, if this reversal today is a harbinger of things to come.
So how bad could this whole environment be, Chris, if we do get some more lockdowns, some more shutdowns, the markets start to fall off a cliff again, and we already have governments and central banks throwing pretty much everything, including the kitchen sink, at these markets? What would they be left to do? Who would be there to support the markets?
That's a good question, and that's what a lot of people ask, you know. You look at, just to isolate junk bonds for a minute, the corporate bond market. In a normal economy where you have price discovery and where fundamentals mean something, which they don't today in the corporate bond market, you would see lots and lots of paper just going down to nothing, and you would see far more bankruptcy declarations than what you've seen already. You know, the Fed has continued to pump money into some companies, and by extension, even though they aren't putting money directly into junk bonds that were so classified before the Fed unleashed this latest program, there's still a trickle-down effect. Because if you're a money manager and you say, and you see the Fed, oh, the Fed's not only buying Berkshire Hathaway bonds, as if Berkshire Hathaway needs the help. They're not only buying Apple and Microsoft bonds, as if those companies need the help, but they're buying companies that are on the borderline of going to junk. And you logically, as silly as it is fundamentally, if you're a money manager, you say, good, I'll buy paper in XYZ oil company that should have been bankrupt 5 years ago, because if things get really bad, the Fed will extend its bailouts to this company also. And so even though the Fed's not doing it directly, indirectly, they're keeping all this stuff propped up. But at some point, even with all of the crazy stuff they're doing recently, Corey, it's like if you've got a chronic illness and you're taking the same antibiotic, after a while, the bugs don't care. They laugh at that antibiotic when the bugs are stronger. Well, the different bugs and the different imbalances that over years the Fed has allowed to build up, including now Powell, who's doubling down on all of this. You know, another conversation I had earlier with some colleagues back and forth on social media, you know, here was a guy, and I've said this before and it bears repeating, Corey, Jerome Powell, when he took this job, and he's been in it for 2.5 years now, he very correctly said that both of the major recessions that we had in the recent past, the one after 2000 and the one in 2008, both of them basically were caused by the Federal Reserve, by being too easy with money, allowing bubbles to build up. And when those bubbles break, it brings down the Main Street economy. And he said, I'm not going to do that. Well, he changed his mind, because now he's really doubling down on that same idiocy by thinking that the cure of everything is just throwing more money at stuff. And, you know, the outcome, you have to believe at some point, is going to be the same as what he said, correctly so, that the Fed blew the last two major busts that we had. You know, at some point, I don't care how much money you print and throw at stuff, you're not going to change the underlying dynamics of the economy. So definitely they can make it less bad, but there's going to be a price for that down the road too, if we finally do see that translate into broader inflation. Who knows? But you know, this is again, I've said this a million times, we're at the end game of fractional reserve banking. We've only seen the beginning of the convulsions that we're going to go through for a long time to come because of that.
All right, Chris, we'll wrap it up there. Very interesting close to the markets today, and now we all get to watch and see if there's a follow-through tomorrow, even for the rest of this week. But a little bit worrisome for everyone who was getting very complacent, I think, and ignoring all those warning signs. Chris, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your evening.